Okay, thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us. I'm not from the main connection. Jason Whitney, the program manager for the Launch Indiana program. I've been here before. I see a lot of familiar faces. I was having fun because you're going around the room trying to guess where everybody worked before they started working. I go to enough of these things, I can get like 7 out of 10 right, which is pretty good. Yeah, I work out of the Launch Fishers, which is a 52,000 square foot co-working space in Fishers, Indiana. And I also manage the Indiana Co-working Passport Program that I'll tell you about after I let Tyler introduce himself. But to network of co-working spaces throughout the state, so I get to spend a lot of time in co-working spaces in communities like Martinsville, Bloomington, South Bend, and Clover.
Hi guys, thank you. Well, thank you for having me back. I am the co-founder of Co-work B-Town, which is a co-working space in Bloomington. We're a lot smaller than Launch Fishers, but hope to be also very exciting. We're about 2,000 square feet and have been around now since early 2011, I believe.
And you just upgraded into a new space.
And we just upgraded into a new space, yeah. So we just added about 1,500 square feet. great spot at 213 South Rogers, if you ever move into this spot.
So we thought we'd touch on a couple things. What is co-working? Who uses co-working spaces? What do different communities use co-working for? Talk a little bit about the Indiana Co-working Passport. And my experience in co-working is a little bit different than Tyler's. He's more of an owner-operator, and I've worked through the more municipal side, so we can kind of address both of those different methods, because you guys have both of those here in this community. So how many people have been to a co-working space? Everybody's been in the main connection. I don't think you have a choice. It doesn't sound like it. Studies show right now that 33% of our workforce are independent folks, solo entrepreneurs or freelancers that are not working in the traditional workspace. So those people need a place to work. And co-working spaces over the last 5 to 8 years have really blossomed and seem to double every single year throughout the country. In Indiana, we currently have 42 co-working spaces. 41 of those co-working spaces participate in the Indiana Co-working Passport program. So most of these spaces, other than providing a desk and some internet access, provide those people a place to go so they're not constantly working in their basement. Gives them a sense of being, gives them a place to collaborate. People that work in co-working spaces feel like they're a part of a community. They feel more creative. A lot of studies show they feel healthier because they're getting outside of their house every day and going to a more traditional job. So it's great for communities or private individuals to be able to offer those as a form of economic development in their communities. And that's kind of the method that the Launch Indiana platform takes, is it's a form of economic development. So traditionally throughout the nation, economic development to most of us means go out, find Toyota, find Honda, try and bring 400 jobs at a time into our community. But we look at co-working as a form of economic development because for a much lower dollar figure, we can keep people in our communities and help them be successful in their entrepreneurial ventures, or help them to work for companies outside of our communities. And those folks are going to want to stay in your community. They're going to spend money at locally owned businesses. They're going to raise their kids in your community. They're good members of not-for-profit boards in your community. And they care about the quality of life and value that quality of life that they get. Most of the people that I see are from Richmond, Terre Haute, Anderson, and want to stay there and raise their families there because that's where they feel comfortable. So it's nice to give those folks an opportunity to stay there. The other set of people that I think is really great for is people who have a trailing spouse. So I would imagine there's a lot of people who live in Martinsville that one spouse works in Indianapolis or Bloomington. The other spouse may be an entrepreneur or work for a company outside of the community. If there's a job opportunity where if one spouse can move out of the community, it's really easy. If only one person is connected to people, the other person is working in the basement. So if you're able to engage that person in the co-working space, then it's a lot harder for that family to leave the community and you can keep them there. So that's kind of the Launch Indiana platform for co-working. The Indiana Co-working Passport works with communities to develop programming and capacity building for co-working spaces. We also offer reciprocal membership rights. So if you're a member of Co-work B-Town and you need to go to South Bend for the day for a meeting, you can register on the Indiana Co-working Passport and say, I'm Tyler, I'm from Co-working B-Town, I want to go to the headquarters in South Bend. It'll send Catlin in South Bend an email that says, Tyler's coming on Thursday. Gives her an opportunity to send Tyler a note back that says, hey, you should probably park on the north side of the building, here's the code to get in the door, if she wants to do that. Otherwise, she at least has a heads up that somebody's coming. we have people at Launch Fisher every single day. We have 625 members. And so there's people in there every single day that are working on the Cobra Passport that are kind of coming to the Indianapolis area. But it's a really nice way for us to connect statewide with your coworkers and give them an opportunity to go work in other communities. It also helps to bind together the Cobra Space Managers. So we have an annual conference every year where we talk about different topics such as economic development, what sort of programming are you doing. And we've also started doing some smaller scale quarterly regional meetups where just the managers come. We don't have an agenda for the day, and Tyler can say, I'm having a hard time recruiting sponsors for my space, and we just whiteboard everybody's problems. And that way, you don't feel like you're out on an island just trying to reinvent the wheel. We can work through those together as a team of managers. It also helps build some connections among those folks so that if they have a question, they can go straight to somebody else and not have to just ponder the internet and try and find an answer to what they're working on. So that's kind of what the Indiana Coordinating Passport is all about. And we really enjoy the connectivity that helps create statewide. There's 2,400 people in Indiana that work in co-working spaces, so we're starting to use that number at the state legislature, which hopefully they'll pass the budget today, which means I get to keep my job. But we're able to tell those folks we're representing 2,400 employees around the state, so they're able to put more dollars towards programming and development of co-working spaces around the state. So, a little bit about what we're doing. Maybe we can talk about like how you guys got started, why you started a co-working space.
Yeah, absolutely. So first I want to just say that the stuff that Jason is working on in Launch Indiana and John and the whole team is really, really awesome. Jason and I actually spoke earlier when we were eating lunch. Both of us were in Chicago this week. Chicago's a great place, but we struggled to get into any of their dozens of co-working spaces. It was either way too expensive or completely inaccessible. Chicago has a lot to brag about, but I think that it's really cool that Indiana and these programs and all these spaces have been so welcoming, and I think it's a really powerful thing. So, Jason Rocks, he's an awesome resource. Anyway, why did we open a co-working
space? Yeah, why did you start a co-working space?
That's a good question. I was telling you that our founding story is very unsexy because it was completely accidental. Or maybe not completely accidental, but completely selfish. It has become a little bit less so over the years. But myself and my business partner, Forrest, ran a super small software consultancy when I was still in college and he had just graduated. We wanted to legitimize that place, so we started looking around at really awesome offices. Then we said, no, never mind, too darn expensive, won't do that. Then Forrest started to go crazy, as anyone would, working by himself, a recent college grad. He wanted to stay in Bloomington because his family was there, his friends were there, that's something that was important to him. So he started poking around trying to find other people that he could work with. We met a gentleman named Aaron White, who's the third founder of our space. He had, it was just a Twitter handle that was then called CoWorkBeatdown. Basically with that goal, to help gather people that were sort of floating around at different coffee shops. So he had, I think, about 18 followers, and he would just tweet out Bakehouse at 9 or some other coffee shop. But it worked. And he would have a group of 4 or 5 people every day working at whatever coffee shop he was at. Forrest started going to those. His quality of life skyrocketed. He told me about it. I came home for the summer and then stayed in Bloomington after that and felt the same way. So we started talking about trying to find a space where a lot of us could just split the rent because we were spending so darn much on coffee. We calculated that it was going to cost about the same thing. We did. We found a super flexible lease at an old converted Mexican restaurant. It was, like I said, very unsexy. But the 5 of us started working there. We made a website, called it CoWorkBeatdown, and that 5 turned into 100 in just a few years. So really, for us, it was just to stay sane. As we started meeting other really excited people, and started seeing the other co-working spaces, like Launch Fishers especially, in Indiana do really awesome things, we got excited about the potential for not only us, but for Bloomington. Our first, this is going to be at least 95% true. Sometimes I get my dates mixed up. But our first few members were a applications that that's Google's, like, and they actually don't, that's not really their business model anymore, but that's Google's, Apple TV, a guy named Josh, who had just finished helping design the American Airlines Center, which is where Mavericks play in Dallas. He was an architect. Drew McKinney, who was a software entrepreneur who went on to be one of the head product managers at Pivotal Tracker, which is a huge software company in Denver. And Bess Fernandez, who is now a lead engineer at Simple, which is like an online bank that just got bought by EVA Compass, I think. Anyway, and then it was Forrest and I, who were 20 years old, making about $500 a year, trying to figure our stuff out. And we realized that there was a ton of cool stuff going on in our town beyond what we knew as kids. And so we got excited about trying to find more of those people to create this, you know, a little bit of density and try to convince those people to stay in Bloomington and use their talents for use their talents in Bloomington and to collaborate with each other, because we knew we wouldn't have been able to start our business, I don't think, our software business, without the influence of those folks, and we wanted to share that as much as we could.
The influence of those other folks is something that has come up a lot recently. In Anderson, they're looking to develop a co-working space in Anderson. A couple entrepreneurs have said, what would I get out of the space? And I think they were looking for something more tangible, like sales. But what did you guys get out of the space in those early days and still today, I guess?
Yeah, everything. I mean, I think that there are some tangible things that we got out of it. We don't like to market the place as a sales tool, but it was that for us. That was part of how we were able to justify our early investments, were because we didn't spend a dime marketing our software business. We just met people who knew people. That was really helpful. But like I said earlier, I think the sanity factor was pretty tremendous. I still do, but especially then, had really big dreams, and I had just gotten back from a fancy college and thought I was going to move to San Francisco and wanted to do all this awesome stuff. But after I graduated, I started to realize the importance of family and people in the strong network that I already had in Bloomington, and living there looked more and more appealing, but I didn't want to have to give up my sort of professional goals. So being surrounded by other people that were working at a super high level was really, really motivating to us. And I think it helped us just and do better work, just because of the like positive energy in the space. Also, you know, we partnered with a lot of our early design projects were partnered with people in the space. All of our first clients came from people in the space, so there definitely was tangible benefits too that are hard to guarantee. Sometimes they're hard to explain, but I think not just us, but probably everyone else then, and most of the people that come to our space now would, I think, have some
concerns. Those sales that did have tangible returns to them, probably, they weren't because you had flyers laying out on the table, though. They were from the community, knowing you and Forrest, and knowing your work, and being able to make referrals to you. That's what I've seen in co-working spaces. I talk to people from all sorts of businesses just because I go, I get $70,000 contract the other day because I said, I know a guy, and this is the person I trust, and I just knew him from the co-working space, you know? So I think that's a big piece of the co-working component is the referrals. You're talking about D&I or connections or whatever it was, but similar type of programs. Is co-working spaces kind of act like that in a very informal way and help people advance their businesses by making personal referrals to other services. What about the types of businesses and programs that are offered in co-working spaces? You guys aren't overly heavy on programming, whereas a lot of other spaces are. Do you do that intentionally?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I personally am really passionate about entrepreneurship, as I think Jason is in his space is. But I don't think that has to be point, and I don't think that has to be, I don't think that space managers have to create that. the reason we don't do a ton of our own programming is not only that we both have, we all have other jobs and money, but I think we would probably make that decision otherwise, is to help highlight the awesome stuff that the people in our space are working on. We have, you know, I'm an expert in very few things, if any. We have people in our space that are experts at a lot of cool stuff. We have, my favorite example is the Bloomington Data Collective. I think they had a meeting at our space on Tuesday. Chris Wagner, the guy that runs this thing, is absolutely brilliant, and lives, you know, walks around barefoot, and he's crazy, but he's awesome. And he has attracted speakers. Some have flown to Bloomington, some have just video chatted in from Google, from Microsoft. He's had like some of the early contributors to the languages that he uses to do his analysis. He is an expert at machine, he's an expert at a lot of things, machine learning and data science in ways that I will never be, and in a way that probably no one we will hire will ever be. If we find someone that is an expert in one thing, they're likely not an expert in as many things as we'd like to profile. And us giving away our space is a good way to motivate the people that we do have there to participate in our community.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. There are some people that are world-class talent that live in central Indiana that you would never know. And it's really moving on us to tell those stories to make sure that other people know that those folks are out there. And that's one of the great things about what I do is going into all these co-working spaces. You know, I get to talk to guys like Tyler and learn about the really cool people that are in those spaces. And then as I go around, someone says, I need a guy that's amazing at machine learning. And now I can go back and say, okay, I know a guy that can do that. So that's really cool.
I think that it's incredible, and I'm reminded of this every day, as Jason, I'm sure, how long Central Indiana's fingers are across the world. I mean, there are a lot of people that have spent some time in a really cool place doing really cool things. Not that you have to go to another place to do cool things, but it really is nice to be able to work in Martinsville, or work in Bloomington, or even Indianapolis, and learn from people who have done things, you know, at a super high level everywhere. Not to call you out, Jane, but you sound like a good example of someone that's gone somewhere else and done something really exciting, but cares to come back for, you know, family or whatever else. But I don't believe that that should hinder any of us professionally. And I think that more people are starting to understand that.
What's the questions about co-working? If you want to skip questions.
What kind of technology is involved with, like, a membership?
Yeah, sure. Great question. Like, what types of things are provided?
Yeah, do you offer laptops? Do you offer
I would say most places do not offer anything other than a desk and some internet access.
Okay.
Now, almost every place has some really cool toys. We're developing a new space in downtown Indianapolis that has a four-story twisty slide where you can get off on every floor. I went to a space in Chicago on Wednesday that had a drill press that was mounted in the thing, and I said, that's kind of odd, and he said, it's a beer tap, and as you pulled the drill press down, it came out, that was really cool. Yeah, I wish I had known you were in Chicago, because I was thinking there. So everybody has cool stuff like that, which makes my son think I don't actually work, but most places, you know, it's just people with backpacks. Now, almost every space has some sort of a dedicated desk option where you get, that's your desk every single day for an additional $100 a month. A variety of the spaces have dedicated offices. As you get a little bit bigger, you can have an office at a nominal fee. The nice thing about these is most of these spaces is they don't. It's not a three-year lease. That's the whole point, right? It's no three-year lease, no personal guarantee. There's no bankers that are going to look through your financials. It's month to month. You can make it work this time around. No offense to the bankers back there, but we try to stay away from the bankers. Because a lot of those are barriers to success, making people sign away their life so they can have space to work out. Most spaces are pretty bare bones. Everybody's got coffee, everybody's got beer, everybody's got some kind of game area, stuff learning. So, but most places don't have technical services that are available.
I'll add that I think the two biggest amenities are ones that are difficult to advertise. The second biggest probably being just the ability to go leave your dishes and your laundry and whatever else behind. I mean, really, it's cleaning service isn't a very fun thing to put on the top of a flyer, but it's hugely important because people can come in, they can focus on their work, and then they can leave all of that for me. But that's okay. That's sort of the point. When you work in a home office or an office that you manage, the management does take a toll on you. And co-working spaces usually let you kind of come in, focus, and get out without having to spend too much time thinking about that. And then, of course, the community, which is easier to advertise, harder to sort of prove without forcing your experience. But we always say that we can't compete with home offices. I have a home office that's way fancier than anything we have at co-work. I've got, you know, my monitor set up and a standing desk and a not standing desk and a couch. And that is a more comfortable place to work than anything that we offer. But I still wake up every single day and go to co-work, and so do most of our members. Just because I can't invite all those people over to my house every day. I shouldn't. And I think that's really what's most important.
I think that I work an hour. I live an hour and 15 minutes from my office. And I'm only supposed to go to the office 3 days a week. 2 days a week I'm supposed to stay in Richmond. And I still, some days, go to the office just because I miss the community. You know, I miss the space. And I maybe don't have anything scheduled for the entire day. There's really no reason for me to drive there. But I do, just because that's where you go. To do work, and it's a lot easier. You don't have my wife leaving me a list of empty the dishwasher and make sure you put the cat out.
No offense to wives, because I'm like,
that's right. I don't wear a ring either, by the way.
I want to just add to the main connection, in case you haven't heard of it before. Launch Marketville does have a couple of amenities. We're trying to figure out how to bring different things to our people to make it worthwhile, like different types of technology, of course, Wi-Fi and coffee. But we also have printing capabilities, of course, which I'm not sure if that's pretty standard, but that's just something that we hadn't mentioned yet. Printing, copying, that kind of stuff. We also have the Ruth Roosie room, which is a conference room, has a nice large conference table, and then we have like some smart TV capabilities. So if you needed to do a very professional presentation, you can certainly do that. If you need to Skype with somebody in a professional setting, we offer that through this great conference room. So we're trying to look at some new and different technologies and things that we can bring that would make sense for people or coworkers who want to use the space.
Yeah, I think if we went down the street to Starbucks, there's probably five people sitting in there right now that can work in either of these spaces. They just may not know about it. So it's good that there's some public awareness around co-working. That's a big problem throughout the state, is communities that have never heard of it, don't know what it is, because it's still so new. So it's good that you guys are getting out in front of that and making sure people know that that's available to them.
Do we have any other questions? Yep.
Yeah. Just a question regarding scheduling capacity. Do you find many of your affiliated locations run into issues with scheduling and capacity? And on a personal note, I want to thank whoever's in charge of Fisher's, because you kind of kept the doing business out of my bar. So over the past several months, so thanks.
There you go. So capacity of the space versus how many memberships you sell. Yeah, I haven't seen that be as well. These guys were pretty close. The last time I went to COVID B-Town at the old building, I went in, I was like, no place to sit. This place is cool. I hadn't had that problem. So they're probably the one space that actually did fall into that trap where they were close on space. But I haven't really seen it around the space. We have 625 members at launch. And any given day, there's probably 325 people that come and go throughout the space, but everybody works at different times and comes and goes, and there's never been a time where I didn't have any place to sit. But Tyler might be able to speak to that, because he was pretty close.
We were pretty close, but we also had a really small space. And I think capacity is definitely less of an issue than I ever expected. We have 100 members, and we had like less than 1,900 square feet at our first place. You know, I think if someone was to sit in every possible spot, we had 25 chairs, and very rarely was there not a single place to sit. Though that did start happening towards the end of our tenure there. We use a software system called Cobot. I think they use something different. There's 100 different ways to do it. I think Launch Martinsville does something similar for our meeting rooms, because that's a little bit more important. If one of the big reasons that you are part of these spaces is for that professional meeting space, which is really common with us, and I think, again, most of these places, it's important to have access to that when you need it. So we do use scheduling software where you can go in ahead of time, save yourself a spot, invite your client, whatever else, so that doesn't become an issue. But, you know, it's like a gym. There's always potential for that being a problem, but I've been blown away at how much it hasn't been an issue in the crazy work hours that people choose to work during.
I'm actually talking with a company out of Washington, D.C. right now that has a product that would allow us to do that software, Cobot, for the entire state. So out of 1776, they're interested in deploying it statewide, which would give us the ability to, you know, create subgroups for each co-working space, but also then give us that really high level to know who's working in all the co-working spaces, what type of industries do they represent, what sort of expertise do we have in all these different areas, so that instead of just looking for a guy that knows how to use drones and have to call 3 or 4 different co-working spaces looking for a drone guy, we'd have all that information aggregated. Space. So I'm interested to see if that plays out, because I think it could be pretty hard to state overall.
Okay, any final questions? I do want to just touch back on something that Jason said earlier. One of the first things about when you have a co-work space, or in our case too, in your community, it's a great boon because you've got these people that are staying in your city, staying in your county, people who are educated, people who are business-minded, people who are making things happen. We want to try to keep all those people, all you people, in our county, and to help grow and develop our great city.